Sleepover at the Museum by Karen Lee Frack, illustrated by David Brooks. Mason couldn't wait. Today was the best day of the year, his birthday. Tonight he was going to have a sleepover at the Museum of Natural History, his favorite place to visit. Mason and his two best friends, Zoe and Will, were ready for an adventure. Mason's parents led them inside. They met their guide right next to giant fighting dinosaurs. "Hey guys, my name's Jesse," said a young man. "I'll be showing you around the museum. Follow me, I have a surprise." "Welcome to this discovery room," said Jesse. "Tonight you will be going on a scavenger hunt. And if you solve all the clues, Mason can choose the hall for your sleepover." Mason and his friends were excited. They love solving mysteries. "Here's how you wear a headlamp," said Jesse, demonstrating. "They're perfect for dark hallways." "Ooh." He handed Mason the map and clue sheet. "If everyone's ready, let's get started." "Yeah!" Out in the hallway, Mason read the first clue. "Of all the planets around the sun, thousands of rings surround this one." Zoe searched the map and pointed towards the room. They took off. "There it is," Zoe said. "The planet Saturn." Mason checked off the clue. "First mystery solved." They all laughed as Will pretended to be an astronaut, taking giant slow motion steps on the moon. But Saturn felt too far away from his own home planet. Mason would rather sleep somewhere else. Mason's friends gathered around to hear him read the second clue. "He comes from an egg. His size gives him fame. This king of the reptiles has quite a long name." "Hey, I think I know this one," said Mason, smiling. When they reached the Hall of Dinosaurs, the friends stopped in their tracks. Dinosaurus Rex loomed over them. "Wow, look at the sign," it says. "He's the king of the dinosaurs," said Will. "And dinosaurs were reptiles," added Zoe. Mason checked off the second clue, while Zoe pretended she was a Velociraptor but studied the pterosaur flying overhead. Mason thought his birthday was off to a great start, but he didn't think he could fall asleep with T-Rex standing over them in the dark. It was time for the third clue. Mason read, "This mammal that uses his nose as a hose can wash his huge body in all 20 toes. "I've got this one," said Will, starting to run. "We'll follow you," said Jesse. "There they are," said Will, pointing to the herd of elephants in the Hall of African Mammals. "Look at those chicks," exclaimed Mason. "Check us out," said Will to Zoe. He and Mason beat their chests like the gorillas in the exhibit. Zoe read the sign. "As an elephant herd is always led by a female animal." Smart animal, she thought. Mason didn't think he could sleep while being stalked by a lion or stepped on a big, giant elephant foot. What would be the best sleeping spot, he wondered. "Can I read the clue this time?" asked Will. Mason nodded and handed him the clue sheet. "The hardest gems you'll find on Earth will dazzle you for all their worth." "I'm stumped," said Will. Zoe pointed and the boys followed. "Just look at all the diamonds sparkle," Zoe said. "You solved it," said Mason. "It says right here that diamonds are the hardest minerals on Earth." The friends high-fived each other. They made a great team. "Mining sounds like hard work," said Mason after reading a sign. The Hall of Minerals was spectacular, but Mason didn't think he would sleep well here. Between glittering gems and thoughts of mining, he wouldn't be able to relax. Mason read the next clue. "These birds and feathers, but could not soar. They're now extinct. There are no more." "I know this one," said Mason.
It's this way.
They entered the Hall of Biodiversity, and Zoe spotted it first. "The dodo bird," she cried. "Exactly," said Mason. "You kids are amazing," said Jesse. "Let's walk through the Life on Earth exhibit. We can see 3.5 billion years of evolution in a few minutes." Mason had learned a lot in the Hall of
Biodiversity.
But sleeping with the extinct predators would make him feeling like pride. "Two more clues to go, guys," said Mason. "These fragile insects, queens or kings, are always noticed for their wings." Will flapped his arms and said, "Follow me!" "Whoa," exclaimed Will. "The butterfly pavilion feels like a rainforest." "Monarch is another word for queen and king," read Mason. "Right," said Zoe. "Then a monarch butterfly is a queen or a king with rings." "Another clue solved," said Mason. "It was beautiful here," Mason thought. "But the butterflies would probably tickle them while they slept. Plus, it felt as hot as real rainforest." Now he was getting worried. Where they going to sleep? "It's our final clue," said Mason. "Let's read it together. You've done so well, it's getting late. What can we celebrate to eat?" "I know this one," said Will, rubbing his belly. "It's my favorite thing about birthdays." "Cake!" they yelled. They ran all the way to the party room. When Jesse called up, he congratulated them on solving every clue. "We did it together," said Mason. "You guys are great friends and super at solving mysteries," Jesse asked. "So, have you decided where to sleep tonight, Mason?" Mason took another look at the map. "I finally have the perfect place in mind. I'll take you there, right after cake and presents." "Another mystery," said Zoe. "Soon to be solved," said Will, finishing his second piece of cake. "This is it, the Hall of Ocean Life," said Mason. "The best place to sleep in the museum. It feels like being underwater." He placed his sleeping bag directly below the blue whale, his very favorite animal. "Look," said Zoe, "the whale has a belly button, just like we do." "You know what would be dangerous?" asked Will, looking at the open mouth of a great white, helping a shark brush his teeth. Mason and Zoe laughed. "We'd better brush our own teeth, said Zoe, yawning. Sleepily at last, Mason imagined floating in the ocean on top of the blue whale and being gentle, rocked by waves. He gazed at the
behemoth
one last time before closing his eyes. Then he whispered, "Good night, Will. Good night, friends," and fell fast asleep on his best birthday ever. The end.
Cake by Sue Hendra and Paul Linnett. Cake had just received an exciting invitation. "You are invited to a party." He'd never been to a party before, so he didn't know what to expect. But he was sure about one thing: he wanted to look as best. Fish didn't know what Cake should wear. He'd never been to a party either. Said Fish. "Nope. I don't think so. What about a hat? Suggested Fish. Good thinking. So Cake, said Cake. So off Cake went to buy a hat. Cake tried on lots of hats in the shop, but none of them were quite right. Is it for a special occasion? Asked the shop assistant. A wedding? Perhaps? No, said Cake. A party. Oh, said the shop assistant. In that case, I have just the thing. And he disappeared out the back. Here you go, sir, said the shop assistant. You will be irresistible in this. Thank you very much, said Cake. He couldn't wait to get home and show Fish his new hat. Are you ready? Cake called from his bathroom. Ta-da! You've done it, shouted Fish. Cake was soon on his way to the party. Dressed in his new hat. Deedly-dee, deedly-dum. I'm off to a party to have some fun. Cake was a bit nervous when he arrived. But when everyone saw him, they cheered. Cake's here! A party isn't a party without Cake, they said. And in he went. Cake was having so much fun at the party. There was dancing and lots of games. But then the singing started. ... Happy birthday to you! Happy birthday to you! Cake was getting a bad feeling about this. Oh, crumbs! Suddenly, there was a gust of wide wind, and everything went black. Then there was a smell of raspberries. and cake felt a wibbly wobbly hand grab hold his of his and a wibbly wobbly voice said dot 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 quick! Run for it, Cake!